Blog Talk Radio.
Qui dove il mare luccica e tira forte il vento. Sono vecchie terrazze davanti al golfo di Sorrento. Un uomo abbraccia una ragazza dopo che aveva pianto. Poi si schiarisce la voce e ricomincia il canto. Te voglio bene assai, al mare, penso alle notti là in America.
Good evening, my friends. The fight is on. You just heard Caruso by Andrea Bocelli. That's how I wanted to start, because my heart is in two places at the moment. One of them is obviously with the singer, with Caruso. The other one is with everything that causes problematics in the voice. And I'm fighting 35 years. I fought through absolutely everything with my own voice, and since then fighting for everybody else's voice. And this morning, there is an article on Vulture magazine by a very, very important doctor. His name is Steven Zeitels, the famed surgeon and director of the Massachusetts General Hospital Voice Center, who treated everyone from Adele and Sam Smith to Steven Taylor and Julie Andrews. My suggestion is that you go into Vulture and you read this article, because I am not going to read it to you. And underneath it, you will find my response to it. Now, the reason I write, "The fight is on, it's time to stand up and be counted," is because it really is. I mean, I've put myself out there for years and years and years. And when Julie Andrews had her surgery, unfortunately, before her surgery, it was a time when my daughter was dying. And I didn't know anything that went on. I had no clue. I was involved in a completely different world, and I had just returned from the Ukraine after living in the Ukraine 2.5 years, and I just didn't know. When everything was over in my life and I came back to being somewhat of a normal person, I found out through my students that Julie Andrews had had the surgery and that it was botched up, she couldn't use her voice, and whatever. It took a couple of years. Well, my daughter passed away in 96. It took until 99 for the first book on the voice to come out. It took me 3 years to write the first book. And when it was done, my secretary, then Bambi, got it to Julie Andrews. And Julie Andrews sent me, through her secretary, a letter telling me that she read the book and she couldn't believe it because it so reminded her of what she was taught by her teacher many, many years ago. Obviously, we're talking about 40 years ago, maybe longer, maybe 50, when things were yet quite different. Now, I've watched Julie Andrews since I'm a child because when The Sound of Music first came out, you know, I was still living in Germany. We were still, the whole family was still in Germany. We hadn't immigrated to America yet. I was a little girl. And I remember listening to her and hearing her, and I still hear her in the way she was. And then, years later, I heard her on Broadway, and I simply could not believe that that voice that sang with that gorgeous sound of music really wound up to be what she wound up to be singing on Broadway, which, of course, destroyed her. Now, what happened here? What happens between the time that you go to your teacher, and obviously at that time she had a teacher who knew what he was doing and who let her be who she was and left her voice and guided her in the right way. And then what happens in the time that you start a career and you go through the various stresses of the career? Well, if you don't see your teacher, and if you don't continue the work, and if you don't be like an athlete, and Dr. Zeitel speaks about this, of course, not in the way that I do, but he does say that, you know, singers are like athletes. Yeah, well, they are like athletes, but you can't do to a voice what you need to do to a body. Obviously, there is a whole different set of circumstances, a different set of muscles that have to be used. The problem is that unless you know what to use, how to use it, then nothing is going to stop you from destroying the instrument. Now, what is not clear about that, I really don't understand. And the way things are being taught, and he doesn't speak about this at all, okay, he speaks about it from the point of view of a surgeon. I speak from the point of view as the person that makes a singer, without ever having a problem with their voices. Now, if you go on Facebook and you go into that article, and underneath there are people who wrote things. One of them is Ricardo Foresi that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Okay, there was a time during 2010 and 2012 that we were not working together. And he was on his own, and, you know, he thought he was continuing to do what we were doing. And then when we got back together again in 2013, I heard the voice for the first time in that period of time. And I said, Ricardo, you must go and get a scoping. I believe that there is something wrong on the courts. He then went to a couple of doctors, and he had a scoping, and sure enough, he had a polyp. And of course, immediately, they wanted to operate. And I said, no, you don't operate. You rework and reposition, and we began working again the way we work. And within a 3-month period of time, that polyp was gone, totally and completely gone. It's now 3 years later. He is singing 3-4 times a week, and he is perfectly okay. The doctor went crazy, couldn't believe, how is this possible? Well, my friends, the way this is possible is if you take away the constant mutilation, the constant manipulation, the constant assault of your vocal cords by the air that is being pushed out and against the cords, and you put it into the place where we've been working and what you've learned over the last number of weeks, and the putting together of the entire system and the strengthening of the muscles that actually move the system and strengthen the system, that have nothing whatsoever to do with the throat. The throat is, for all intents and purpose, an open vessel that is used only to pass air and as a support system, to be open so the air from the diaphragm can get to the soft palate. The minute the soft palate is not up and the sound is not where it belongs and vowels are created inside the mouth along with the consonants, you will have, I don't care who you are, you will have problems with the voice. I think the first or the second show that we did, I brought recordings of Whitney Houston and Maria Callas. Both of them, extraordinary talents. Look, it's not that today, there are problems with voices, or that today the problems with the voice are different than they were. What he says here, this doctor, is, but there are more surgeries happening and with better results. Okay, that means a performer thinks he's got something wrong with him. He goes with his instrument. He goes running to the doctor. And then, what he says here, the doctor, you operate because of a person's assessment of how their voice is failing, whether it's stamina, projection, frequency, or range. People who have things on their vocal cords and don't touch them, it is usually because they're doing what they need to do. It's not a mandate to operate just because the vocal cords don't look normal. We only mandate doing something when we see something that looks like a tumor. Well, what did you just hear? You heard the words, when they're doing what they need to do. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, doing what you need to do? He doesn't give you an answer. He has no clue what the answer is to doing what he needs to do as a singer. He knows, as a doctor, what he needs to do. And it's very interesting that even if you know what to do for a while, all of a sudden, one day, you don't know what to do anymore. How is it possible that Julie Andrews sang like a bird and then she sang like a seagull? How is it possible that Whitney, at the beginning of her career, sounded like one thing, never really great, you know, never really great. But of course, you would never agree with that, because look at what she accomplished. The proof is in the pudding. It's what her voice destructed was her life. Okay, this Meghan Trainor canceled her tour for health reasons related to her vocal cords, and she writes, I was being careful and taking precautions, but I have hemorrhaged my vocal cords again. Now, what does this mean? Hemorrhaging your vocal cords, in plain English, between you and me and the lamppost, means you push the living daylights out of them again. That means you have no clue where you are. You have no clue where the voice needs to be. You have no clue how to use the instrument. You are pushing and shoving against the instrument without having any knowledge. Now, why is it that you don't have any knowledge? All of these people, Adele, John Mayer, Kelly, Sam Smith, Jonas Kaufman, the classical singers today that are having vocal cord surgery. Okay, this was not thought of 30, 40, 50 years ago. Why? Because the technical knowledge and the way you were singing and what was the way of using the voice was different. And when you listen to singers, if you listen to singers from 30, 40 years ago, you don't hear a breath. You don't hear any inhaling. You hear beautiful line. You hear gorgeous sounding vibrations with very, very little technology added to them. I mean, you take Frank Sinatra, okay? Frank Sinatra was not a great voice, okay? Never was he a great voice, but he knew how to sing. He knew how to use his instrument to the best possible potential. You take somebody like Bing Crosby, gorgeous voice. Perry Como, gorgeous, gorgeous singing. What happened to Barbara Streisand? That used to be, what an incredible voice. Instrument, gorgeous. Listen to her today. Okay, she sounds like a chicken without a head. And people buy it. And people go and they hear her and they spend a fortune for tickets to listen to what? That isn't a shadow of what she was. Now, why is that? Why is it when you know something, all of a sudden, you don't know it anymore and it's not there anymore? Now, how does that work? And here I'm going to bring in the story of the athlete, the story of a pianist, the story of any musician. Okay, a pianist would never think of presenting himself in concert unless he was working 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day on his instrument. Learning music, learning movement, learning, preparing to the umpteenth degree where, what, how, when. Singers open up their mouths and they go. What preparation? I got a great voice. I got a stupendous instrument. I know how to do this. In the beginning, everything sounds great. If you're an athlete and you're preparing for 100 meters, okay, and you're preparing 3, 4 years, and you're working every single day. Comes to the 100 meters, and you win. And then you sort of are famous, and then you sort of don't work every day, and you sort of get caught up in the limelight. And all of a sudden, you start running again, and oh my goodness, what happened to my muscles? What happened to my speed? And then you start training again as though it was the beginning, because the body forgets. The body has a sound memory. The body has a muscle memory. And if you don't produce that same sound all the time, using the same muscles all the time, the brain forgets. It's like breaking a leg. You've been walking on the legs for 35 years. And all of a sudden you break your leg. You're in a cast for a month. And then what? Then you need to take off the cast and you need to do exercises and physiotherapy. And how is this possible that I'm using my legs for 35 years and all of a sudden I don't know how to use my legs? This is exactly the same as with the voice. Now, there is one thing that he says that is very, very, very interesting, because it's really the single most interesting thing that he says, other than, of course, that they're developing something to make the cords less stiff, a material for synthetics, a synthetic material we put in the vocal cords to make them soft. Okay, because with use, they stiffened up. Okay, so here he writes, the skills to keep on performing over decades are very much neurological brain control. This is the single best thing he says in the entire article of basically nothing, so far as I'm concerned. Because basically and ultimately, every single thing is controlled by the brain. Only the brain knows how to engage the instrument, play the instrument, work the instrument, take out of the instrument what it is that our minds perceive. People, I've been working at this for 35 years, and I cannot get my foot into the door. Why? Because people like that are making fortunes of money all over the world. It's not important where it is. Okay, when my book came out, the first one in 1999, a copy of the book was sent to the International Voice Foundation. And the Dr. Sadilov, who is the head of that foundation, wrote me a very nice letter back. And he said, you have a very interesting approach to vocal performance. Okay, so give me a forum at the International Voice Foundation and bring it to the world. Nothing of the kind. Then a doctor that I was working with in Kendall, Dr. Louis Arand, who had read my books and who came to me and wanted to collaborate, which we did for quite a while with many of my singers, he said, just unbelievable what the work is and what kind of results it has. And all of my singers, every one of them comes to me in the beginning with real serious problems. And within a few months, those problems are solved. That doesn't mean that they become instant successes and instant singers. However, what they do become is free of vocal stresses, free of vocal problems, and they learn how to attach themselves to the potential of their real voices and the voices completely and totally change from the way they were because the instrument regenerates itself without surgery, unless, God forbid, there is something really, really wrong. Come to me, read my books, do the work. And none of this is necessary. Why is it? I don't understand it. And I don't understand the problematic that I know I have 35 years plus behind me. I have done everything I can to put myself out there, obviously, still doing it, and with this show, even more so, all around the world. So just listen. Listen to what there is. You will be blown away. And I told the doctor in what I wrote on Vulture as a response and put on Facebook and put on LinkedIn, whatever. I do everything, okay? Just invite me. Just listen. Just hear what I have to say. Understand that which you are not taught in medical school. It comes from a different way of thinking, a different place. Listen. Give me the forum. Let me explain to you what we do the way I did over the last 4 weeks with you. Okay, I'm not expecting that you, in those 45 minutes, four times, you understand to the umpteenth degree of what it is that we're doing. But you have an idea and you have a different viewpoint and you have a different knowledge. Well, somebody who really wants to work, somebody who really, really puts himself in it and understands, somebody like this guy in this kind of position, somebody like the International Voice Foundation in Philadelphia, okay, they listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They see what's happening in the world, not just in America, but in the whole world. It's the same thing. They teach this to their speech pathologists. They teach this to their doctors. They teach this to their vocal pedagogy students. That is the mode of teaching today. My mode of teaching is completely different. There is not an inch of similarity. There are many, many, many people out there who are taking from me and thinking that by using my words, they can accomplish what is being accomplished in our work. And that's not so. Unless you are trained and you have the correct listening and the correct hearing as a teacher, and you void yourself of your own ego of needing to sing, of your own ego, of needing to hear yourself, exposing your own voice, but being an absolute vessel for your students, you accomplish nothing. I've seen it time and time and time again. People come to me, they come to my studio, they sit and they listen, and they watch how I work with my students. And then I say, okay, here is the piano. Here is the student. Go teach. You've been sitting here for 3 months. Go and do it. I've held back nothing. I give you everything. Go and do it. So what do I get? I really don't want to teach. I really want to sing. So will you please tell me, will you please teach me how to sing? Do you know how many times that has happened? People don't want to teach. Everybody wants to sing. Nobody that I have ever met, if they have a choice between singing and teaching, will take teaching. Because when you teach, and when you really teach, your own voice is completely, must be completely void. And you must listen and you must hear and you must be able to guide your student into a place where there is no hands-on, there is no fingers, there is no manipulation in the throat, there is no muscle power in the throat, there is no chest that contracts, there are no buttocks that contract, there is no pressure. There is line, there is beauty, there is sound, there is vibration, there is height, there is depth, there is color, there is everything. But that has to be learned. And you have to learn how to totally and completely let go as a student. You have to void yourself of your own ego. I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not a psychologist, but I do teach voice. And I am the voice of every single one of my students, because only his voice counts when I'm teaching. The individual instrument, not anybody else's, not anybody else's sound, not anybody else's way, my way or the highway, says the student. It's my voice, it's my instrument. Work with it. And that's what we do, and that's what needs to be done. This is what he's talking about when he says, you got to know what you're doing. And if you knew what you were doing, you would be able to do it. We all have bad days. We all have bad days. We all wake up in the morning and it's just not going. However, a professional wakes up in the morning and it doesn't go, you know what he does? He says, but it does. And I know how to make it happen by thinking correctly, going into the correct space, leaving everything else behind. I have a student who today is making a very beautiful career. Okay, when he couldn't sing in his apartment and have his lessons in the apartment, he was sitting in his car, and we had our lessons in his car. Why? Because he had to perform, and he had to be prepared. Now, when you have a teacher who is completely and totally devoted to you and your instrument, you work together, and you work together as a team, obviously. When you're in the right place, you cannot hear yourself. You cannot make manipulative changes to the instrument. What you think you want to come out is what will come out. That takes confidence. That takes understanding. That takes total, limitless potential that is worked to the utmost. That takes an ego that is non-existent. The only thing that exists is the voice. That takes everything personal out of the instrument. The instrument rules. The voice rules. The voice does not accept under any circumstances to be interfered with. And your brain is your PowerPoint. Your brain is what guides your knowledge. And when you have that knowledge, and when you allow that knowledge to take over, and you trust that knowledge, then we can talk. Why won't they let me out there? Why won't they invite me to put this forward? Why won't they bring me to Massachusetts or to Philadelphia or to San Francisco or to wherever they're sitting? Why? Why will they come to me nascosto? They'll come to me on the sly. Don't tell anybody that I'm coming to you. Obviously, I never discuss who my students are, because when they come to me, they come to me with serious problems. And unless they put it out there, okay, I don't say anything. Go and ask Robert Chemin. Robert Chemin came a few months ago, really in bad shape. He's a speaker, big seminars, international. Every other day he's someplace else. Incredible, incredible life, up and down and in and out, and traveling, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people he talks to. Okay, his voice is absolutely restructured in the most natural way in a very short period of time, 2.5-3 months. No more problems whatsoever. None. Nothing. Okay. No pills. No reflux. Your cords are red because you have gastric reflux. So we don't know what to do about it. So let's go and do an endoscopy. And then what happened I can't even talk about it, because I get so upset and so emotional when I think that because of the voice, you went to a doctor, he tells you you need an endoscopy, and then you die. Okay? And then you die. When there is absolutely no reason, and don't you think that I wrote to Melissa? Don't you think I offered? And don't you think I tried to get to Whitney Houston? And don't you think I tried to get to Adele? And don't you think I tried to get to John Mayer? Don't you think I try day and night, 12, 14 hours a day, besides my teaching, to put this out into the world and to make it happen? So I do master classes, and people come, and it's woo and whine. Oh my God, how come nobody ever told me this before? Okay, bring me there. I told him, I'm coming to the States. I'm ready to come and talk to you. I'm ready to do anything I possibly can. Help me out. World, help me out. Help me out. I've got to bring this out so all of this craziness is going to stop and these voices are going to be saved and bring again the joy that we used to have from voices in every field, every genre, and in every age. Bring me somebody in their 60s who is wobbling all over the place, and we'll make them 25 again. I've done it many, many, many times. Listen. Write to me, talk to me. Next week, we're speaking from South Africa. I'm going to teach there. I have 73 children plus master classes and. We'll talk, we'll have interviews. You have a marvelous, marvelous Sunday. I love you all. We'll talk next week, God willing. Keep me in your prayers. It's a big, long trip. All the best. Take care. Bye-bye. Be well. God bless.